Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today, with your presenters for this week, Carmel O'Donoghue and myself, John Bourne. Coming up on this week's programme, we have an interview with Simon Stewart, the chairman of the Species Survival Commission at the International Union for Conservation of Nature. We'll also have a roundup of some of the stories of Irish interest that are making the headlines across Europe, and we'll have some music from Holland and the Manic Street Preachers. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme, Europe Today. The European Consumer Centre is warning people to get advice when making payments on websites when alternatives make no charges at all. The centre says there has been a 12% increase in complaints during the past 12 months from people who have been charged for things like visas and health insurance cards. Grace Duffy of the European Consumer Centre in Dublin says if in doubt, the applicant should also contact the umbrella body of the respective sector to inquire if the website is genuine.
The main thing we want to advise consumers about is that when they're looking at websites, for instance, for booking things like driver theory tests or visas, for example, for travel to the US, there are a number of websites on the internet that provide these services but at an inflated fee. So it could be that consumers pay more for the service than if they went through the official channel.
In case you didn't know it, this week was EU Code Week, which finishes tomorrow, Friday. A number of events were taking place around the country where people learned the skill of computer coding. Ireland has the second highest number of activities in the European Union to highlight the benefits of learning computer code. EU Coding Ambassador Julie Cullen from Drogheda says the classes have seen a significant increase in the number of girls learning computer coding.
They're free. It's one of the Coder Dojo only has one rule be cool. And it's free. You get free pizza when you go there. It's 2 or 3 hours of mentors and peers showing you how to code. And we have discovered that an awful lot more girls now are entering into the coding profession because of that. And there will be a bigger uptake now in the next couple of years in computer programming.
4 GAA players, 2 male and 2 female, are in England this weekend to take part in a unique international scientific experiment. Scientists in Oxford will use new EU-funded technology to record the body movements involved while playing Gaelic football, hurling and camogie. The science will assist future players of the sport how to develop in their respective disciplines. Cuiva Costello of Adair Camogie Club in Limerick, who is participating in the project, says this is a new approach to perfecting hurling skills.
Well, it's to record the key movements of any muscle that we use as we strike the ball from our hands or from the ground. It helps young people in the future to see how us as players in 2014 use hurling.
The EU Commission has slapped a multi-million euro fine on Germany's Deutsche Telekom. The telephone company was found guilty of exploiting its dominant market position in Slovakia through a local subsidiary. The European Union's Executive Commission announced Wednesday that Deutsche Telekom will be fined a total of almost 70 million euros for violating the bloc's monopoly rules. The following is a statement by Joaquin Almunia, Vice President of the EC in charge of competition.
Today the Commission has adopted the decision punishing 2 abuses committed by Slovak Telecom in the Slovak telecoms market. The first one was the foreclosure of competitors. The Slovak Telecom, according to our investigation, shut out competitors to avoid them to have access to the broadband. And the second abuse was what we call the margin squeeze. So they put prices in a way that the profits were not towards the other players, but towards Slovak Telecom. This is an infringement, it's an abuse of dominance, according to the treaty, and we have imposed a fine of 38 million euros. Deutsche Telekom, that according to our investigation has control of Slovak Telecom decisions, is also liable with a joint and several liability. So both of the companies, any of those companies, should pay 38 million euros. And Deutsche Telekom has also received an additional fine of 31 million euros because there is a very big company, and we need to punish in particular these companies to have a deterrent effect on the other players in these markets. And at the same time, Deutsche Telekom is a recidivist because many years ago they also were punished in this case in the German market, for the similar kind of abuses.
This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Ireland is nearly second in the EU for property price hikes. Prices have raced up by 12.5% in the first half of this year. This compares with an average of 1.7% across the EU over the same period. That's according to statistical agency Eurostat. Only in Estonia are prices rising at a faster rate. Tom Tynan was appointed to the cabinet of the incoming EU Commissioner for Agriculture, Phil Hogan. Tom joins the cabinet with 17 years of commercial and strategic experience in the global agribusiness industry. Small medium enterprises in Ireland, while accounting for 70% of employment in the private sector, will need expanded access to finance. That's according to the annual SMEs Performance Review, which was published recently by the European Commission. Are you fluent in Irish and fancy being an Irish language translator working in the EU? Well, the EU Commission's Director General for Translation is seeking to recruit translators. Successful applicants will be based in Brussels and will be required to translate documents into Irish from English and a second official EU language. Applicants are invited to send their application by the 14th of November to mailbox dgt/at/ga@ec.europa.eu. According to a recent report by the EU Drugs Agency, an estimated 28,000 lives are lost on Europe's road every year, and a further 1.34 million are injured. Many of these accidents and deaths are caused by drivers who take alcohol, the number one substance endangering lives on European roads. Use of drugs and medicines behind the wheel, particularly when combined with alcohol, is also a major problem. The report found that the chronic use of all illicit drugs can lead to a decrease in driving performance, even when the person is no longer intoxicated. The European Commission has authorised the proposed merger between Chiquita Brands International of the US and Fife of Ireland. Whilst the merger brings together the number one and two suppliers of fresh bananas in Europe, the Commission's investigation found that healthy competition will be preserved in the relevant markets. EU research is helping fish farmers become more competitive. Global demand for fish is increasing, putting many species in danger from overfishing. Half of the fish consumed globally is now produced at fish farms, otherwise known as aquaculture. Many more could be done to make this industry, which employs some 80,000 people, more efficient. To help, an EU-funded project is connecting aquaculture scientists from across Europe for research that fish farmers can use to boost their competitiveness and the economies of coastal communities. AquaTT, a Dublin-based SME, is one of 17 partners in this project. This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Want vrouwen en voetbal.
Making waves at the top of the Dutch charts, that's Andrea Hayes Jr. with a track called Ballade Hollandaise.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Habitat loss is having a serious impact on Europe's butterflies, beetles and dragonflies. The release of the European Red List, commissioned by the European Commission, now states that some species are so threatened that they are at risk of global extinction and are now included in the latest update of the International Union for Conservation of Nature's Red List of Threatened Species. To tell us a little bit more about this alarming situation is Simon Stewart, Chair of the Species Survival Commission of the IUCN. Simon, thanks for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Can you give us a little bit of background about the European Commission's commissioning of this particular report?
Well, the European Commission has been embarked for some years on a process of going through all the major groups of species that occur in Europe and assessing them to see how threatened they are with extinction. And so they have been collaborating closely with our organization, the International Union for Conservation of Nature, because we run the official world list of threatened species. That's the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. So in a sense, we have simultaneously been doing the work for our Red List, but also for the European Commission. And we've just completed the work on dragonflies and butterflies and a group of beetles as well.
How important a role would these, you know, seemingly inconspicuous creatures play in, you know, in people's biosphere?
Well, very often the insects and the species that we know less about actually play more important roles in the ecosystem. So some of the beetles that we have looked at are very important in the decomposition of wood and in the doing important things down in the leaf litter of forests and things like that. So although we might not notice them or may not even like them, they can perhaps be more important sometimes than the spectacular birds or mammals.
There hasn't been too many animals becoming extinct in the last 40 years. Is it really something that we should be worried about?
Well, out beyond Europe, it's there's a major problem with extinction of certain groups of species. Because Europe is one of the more developed parts of the world, conservation action is further advanced than in many other places.
Right, Jim.
And so we see fewer extinctions, but then we should indeed see fewer extinctions because we are wealthier countries and we ought to be able to stop this sort of thing.
Will people take the likes of the Red List seriously? Will they take, and how do people, ordinary people, how can they help the likes of the conservation of these creatures?
Well, I think one of the most important things that ordinary people can do is to make it clear to the people that they elect in local and national governments that conservation is a priority. There's always a tendency by politicians to downplay the importance of the environment, and especially at the moment when everyone's concerned about recession and banking and conflicts in different parts of the world. These are things that will sooner or later get resolved, but the ongoing degradation of our environment and the loss of species is something that's been with us for a very long time. And once we lose a species, such as the Madeiran large white butterfly on the island of Madeira that is possibly already extinct, once we lose something, we can't get it back. We can always restore a bank. We can't bring back the species we've lost.
Yeah.
And so we need to act before it's too late.
So, I mean, you just touched on one particular species there, that the butterfly from Madeira there. We were saying this as well. Is there a case where, creatures like that have become extinct over the last while?
And you're talking about within Europe, yes?
Well, I mean, if you want to broaden it even to say, worldwide even,
Well, just at a global sense, we are losing a number of species. Some of the best documented recent examples are of amphibians, which have declined in many places due to a fungal disease, and are actually declining in Europe as well.
Right.
But within Europe, we have lost for good certain species. We've lost the great auk, the bird that looked like a penguin that disappeared, was hunted out of existence by the 1840s. The grey whale still survives in the Pacific Ocean, but every last animal was fished out in the Atlantic, so we've lost that one as well. And the bald ibis, which is a bird very close to extinction, has been extinct in Europe for many hundreds of years, but still survives in Morocco and Syria, but in tiny numbers. So yes, we have definitely been able to cause extinctions, very sadly.
Did I read somewhere as well that certain species of wolves and eagles have actually have been either hunted or just forced into extinction as well? Is that right? Some of the European wolves.
Eagle,
yeah.
You said.
Yeah.
I think it varies. So the grey wolf, that's a very widespread species that occurs in Europe, is obviously hugely decreased in numbers over many hundreds of years. But in recent years, there have been recovery of certain populations in Italy, for example, and wolves from Italy have been involved in recolonizing France and Switzerland and countries like that. So there are also some conservation success stories that we shouldn't miss out on there. And you mentioned eagles as well. Another conservation success story has been the reintroduction of the white-tailed eagle to Scotland. It was hunted out of existence in Scotland and has been very successfully reintroduced from Norway. So there are success stories too.
Simon, do you find that there is sort of political willpower for these efforts and things like this, or do you find that organisations like yourself are sometimes banging their heads against a rock and a hard place?
I'd say that's a mixed picture, and a lot of it depends on the extent of public support. But a lot has been invested in conservation, and the conservation situation in the world would be much worse were it not for the introduction of laws, the establishment of protected areas and nature reserves. These have done a lot to improve the situation, but it gets much more difficult when the actions required to save species actually have an impact on our living standards.
Right.
So if we need to do something that requires a lifestyle change by us, we tend to be less interested in doing that. Changing our lifestyles in order to reduce climate change, which is important for certain species, that is something that generally governments have found much harder to do.
As regards the actual red list as well, is that updated and re-examined on an annual basis, or how does that work?
So with the red list, we update species. We update the red list every few months,
but
we don't update every species in the red list every few months.
Well,
that's way more than our budgets allow.
Right.
What we try and do is update every species every 5 years, and certainly every 10 years.
Right. And again, a lot of those smaller creatures.
Sorry, can you speak up again?
Sorry, Simon. I'm just saying a lot of the smaller creatures like butterfly. I mean, that must be a huge, momentous task to try to, you know, to monitor the likes of small beetles and things like this.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yes, it is, and it's a hugely underfunded task, but we do the best we can, I guess, is the answer. We have nearly 48,000 species in the red list at the moment. We have many more in the pipeline that will be going on in the coming months and years. And our estimate is to be able to monitor a representative sample of species, we need to be monitoring somewhere between 100 and 200,000 species.
So, I mean, just again, wonder, this is a layman's question for you as well. I was watching some program on the TV before, and they said that one of the best places to find a species of creature that hasn't been discovered before is in your back garden. What would you say to that? Is that true, or?
Find a species that's never been found before in your back garden.
Is that true?
It depends on where your back garden is. If it's in Papua New Guinea, that might be true.
No, this was in your regular English country garden. That the species of insects, actually, if you look close enough.
In the soil, maybe, I don't know. But it's a slightly surprising statement, I think.
Okay, right. And the last thing I was going to ask you, Simon, was as well, what essentially is the difference between the WWF and your own organisation, the IUCN?
So IUCN is a union of governments and conservation organisations. So, and we exist to provide information to help build capacity of our members, and WWF is one of our members. So that they're a non-governmental organization that does a huge amount of good in most countries of the world, and they're one of our long-standing members. But we have many other members, including nearly all the European governments and most of the conservation organizations that you'd have heard about in Europe. Species Survival Commission is one of the six commissions of IUCN.
Simon, you've been very good to take the time out. I know you're a very busy man, and you've been very good to take the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. So, Simon Stewart, thanks for all your time.
Thank you very much.
Disappearing. Our patience. geht durch mich, Europa. Geht durch mich, Europa. Geht durch mich.
That track is called Europa Gate Durgmik, and it's by the Manic Street Preachers with the German actress Nina Hoss. And they're playing here in Dublin in December. That track was suggested by our very own Bernard Whelan. Thanks, Bernard. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, a very, very special thank you to Simon Stewart for joining us on the programme this week. If you want to get in contact with us, give us a ring on 865-8020. That's 865-8020. You can text us on 087-977-1032. 087-977-1032. And don't forget to check out our support website platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and links to all the various issues that we've mentioned as well today. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme Europe Today.